Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of January, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll preview, too, with him a couple of meetings we have coming up this week, one in LaSalle tomorrow evening and then in DeKalb, Sycamore, actually, on Thursday. And they should both be really good meetings in the northern part of Illinois, if you're interested. You can stay with us and hear all the details about those meetings. Along the way today, Dave Dickey will bring you through the news for the afternoon, and we'll hear about all the agricultural energy segment has to offer. What's different with the RBOB and gasoline, the price of corn and ethanol? Dan O'Brien will be here from K-State University. As we wrap it up, we'll try to figure out what the weather forecast is going to be for the Midwest, the Northeast, and, of course, South America. Don Day will help us do that from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were lower, down 2¾ in the lean option March at $3.81¼, May at $3.89¾, 2¾ lower. And July corn at $3.97, down 3 cents. December futures $4.11¼, down 3. And next year's March at $4.19¾ for the new crop. Down what for the day? They were down 3 cents on the afternoon. From the soy complex, bean futures finished the March at $9.73¾, 9¾ lower. May at $9.81¼, down 9 cents. July, $9.87, down 9. August, down 9. September, down 9¼. November, down 9 as well. $9.62¾ the settlement price. In January futures at $9.68¼ for 2016, down 9¼ for the day. Bean meal futures finished $2.30 lower at $336.60, and the bean oil at $31.17, up 9 cents for the day. Soft red winter wheat in the March at $5.19, down a penny and a half. July, or the harvest month, was down a half cent for the afternoon. It finished at $5.28¾. Kansas City hard red at $5.50¼, 4¼ lower. July at $5.60, that's down 4 cents for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished the limit lower at $152.82½. That's up 3. Actually, they were higher, not lower, but up 3 for the day. And the feeder cattle were up $4.50. That's also its limit at $204.47½.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
Checking the outside markets at this hour, crude oil at $45.98 a barrel, 83 cents higher for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.65¢, that's a penny and 8 cents higher. And the gasoline on the RBOB or wholesale price at $1.34¾ a gallon, that's up 3 tenths of a cent per gallon for the day. Natural gas for the day is now trading at $2.95¼, 7¾ higher, and ethanol futures at $1.41¼, 3 cents lower. I should give you the RBOB again. I believe I told you up 3 tenths of a cent, but it's actually up 3 cents for the day. That's at $1.34¼. Checking the weather forecast, it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly cloudy, a high of 32 degrees, north-northeast winds at about 8 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 19, and tomorrow mostly sunny, a high of 40 degrees. Wednesday, a 30% chance of rainfall after midnight. Mostly cloudy and 33 degrees. And Thursday, a 30% chance of rain, that before noon. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 23 degrees. Friday, sunny skies and 31. Friday night, cloudy and 20. Saturday, mostly cloudy and 34. Saturday evening, a chance of snow in the area, cloudy and 25. And Sunday, a chance of snow. That'll continue cloudy with a high of 30 degrees on Monday, partly sunny to start the work week and a high near 22. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather. He, of course, is in Cheyenne, Wyoming. This is WILAG.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's a Tuesday afternoon, the 27th day of January. On the phone line is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, first things first, I'm really looking forward to traveling with you. Over the next couple of days, we'll be up in your old stomping grounds near LaSalle tomorrow. You're from the Ottawa area.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to get back home. Hopefully, we'll see some familiar faces up there, and it'll be a lot of fun to get together and just talk some markets up in the old homeland.
Yeah, we'll be up there. We'll be at Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club. That's not too far off of Interstate 39, just north of the Illinois River in LaSalle. You go to the east, and I suppose if you get to Route 178 or Utica, you need to turn around and come back. Those two aren't very far apart, but the golf club's easy to get to. We'll be there, at 6:30 tomorrow night? It'll be you and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, along with Strategic Farm Marketing's Bill Mayer. They actually are sponsoring that event, so some folks probably have already seen something about it in either their email or maybe a postcard in the mail. And special guest tomorrow night, Kevin Van Trump. He called earlier in the week and then again today and said, hey, can I come and maybe visit with you on one of these events? I said, sure, why not? I thought that might be a pretty good idea. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Kevin. He does the Van Trump Report and been a guest on Commodity Week with us from time to time, too.
Yeah, he's a real interesting person. I'm looking forward to sitting down and talking to him tomorrow night, and I'd really encourage everybody to come out. He just got done with a big two-day seminar out in Kansas City and a real lineup of stuff, so a lot of information there.
Yeah, information there, and then you'll stay with us because that's tomorrow night, Wednesday night, but we turn around and on Thursday we'll be in Sycamore in DeKalb County at the Center for Agriculture. That's the Illinois Farm Bureau building there. From 1 o'clock to nearly 5 o'clock, you're not on quite that long. Gary Schnitke's with us to go through Farm Bill, and then you and Jackie and Joe Vaklovic this time. We'll talk about the marketplace, and Dan Bossy, who we talked to on Commodity Week, will be there too, and he's got some information about what he calls the changing landscape in agriculture. Should be a really good show, and you've been to this one. As interesting and maybe as the marketplace is, the folks at Castle Bank who sponsor this one give some really good economic forecasting information at that particular event. At least I've always been impressed with it. I bet you have too.
Yeah, it's a real deal to go see what's going on there. And if you got the time, this is one heck of a meeting. This is the same speaker, Dan Bassey, and that ADM pays to come do their national brokers meeting. So, you know, along with our group, and Gary Schnitke, I mean, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, so two events, 2 days.
Either one of the two is going to be a big thing for anybody for free.
Yeah, big thing. So what are we going to discuss in the marketplace? I think there are lots of things that are afoot, maybe changing another thing. CBO came out with some odd numbers, I think, today, if you look too far down the line with them. But for the near term, those numbers for acreage and yields were actually kind of positive to the marketplace. How did it absorb it?
Well, you know, we surged quite a bit yesterday on the bean meal, pulling up the beans and a few other things, another possibility of a little dryness of the weather. But, you know, today was sort of the turnaround Tuesday where we took off most of what we put on yesterday. But yet we saw that the Brazilian soybean basis rallied 5 to 10 cents overnight today. They're trying to track the producer into selling rather than holding here as they come off so they can, you know, get that product moved to the port so they can load it out. First boatload of new crop beans is being loaded out today.
No, so they've got beans moving. That's probably the more important issue in the marketplace, that we've begun to move some beans at this time out of South America. That will put a crimp on the style of the New Orleans ports, I would think, for quite a while, although it should allow maybe corn to begin exporting out of the U.S. ports.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if we've been shipping a lot of corn, we've sold a lot of corn here last week, and it's time to get that started, loaded out, and get going on it. And it's been hampered by the fact that we have been loading so aggressively the beans out of the ports, and you can only load so many boats out of a port. So this is going to offer the corn a chance to catch up a little bit. And we did actually see a few little better basis bids today on the corn, even if the market was down a little bit.
That was something that John Newton wrote about on the Farm Doc Daily website in what you would normally see as Darrell Good's Weekly Outlook. And what the pace looked like, if I remember correctly, we're running at this point about 500 million bushels left to go to make that pace, and actually short of that pace, but acceleration could cover, make up most of it, I suppose, pretty quickly. So we've got some time, and it makes for a pretty interesting corn and soybean markets. I'm looking forward, really, to talking to you about that tomorrow evening and Thursday in LaSalle and in DeKalb.
Going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
Some of the nation's major meat industry groups are making it quite clear that they are all in on renewing trade promotion authority for President Barack Obama to help close a trade deal in the Pacific. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association, National Chicken Council, National Pork Producers Council, and National Turkey Federation all issued statements Monday in a concentrated effort to draw attention to TPA. Following the statement, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack said, quote, "It is imperative that Congress act on trade promotion authority early this year." Trade negotiators for the U.S. and the 11 other countries meet again this week in New York as a possible deal is expected in the early spring. TPA, also known as Fast Track, ensures Congress can only vote up or down on a final trade deal without amending it. This morning, the Congressional Budget Office weighed in on its projections for corn and soybean acres and production for 2015. The CBO says that U.S. farmers will plant fewer corn acres and more soybeans in 2015, with crop production seen down for both from last year's record highs. CBO forecast a corn crop of 13.496 billion bushels, down from the record high of 14.2 billion last year, and a soybean crop of 3.829 billion bushels, below the 3.97 billion in 2014. CBO says the projections are based on plantings of 89 million corn acres versus 90.6 million sown in 2014, and soybean seedings of 86 million, up from 83.7 million planted last spring. President Barack Obama says U.S. laws and regulations have not yet caught up with technological developments that have made drones readily available. The president was responding to the small drone that crashed on the White House grounds while he was traveling in India. The drone was the kind you could buy at Radio Shack. President Obama says the U.S. must develop a legal architecture to make sure drones don't become a safety risk or violate people's privacy. Caterpillar Incorporated today reported fourth quarter profit of $757 million. The Peoria, Illinois-based construction equipment company posted revenue of $14.24 billion in the period. Caterpillar expects full-year earnings to be $4.75 per share, with revenues expected to be $50 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week and a series of Will Ag Outlook panels over the next couple of weeks, starting tomorrow evening in LaSalle, Illinois at 6:30 p.m. This one's free and open to everyone, sponsored by Strategic Farm Marketing. So they'll have a crop insurance meeting and a bit on farm bill there as well. You may have gotten an email, possibly a post
postcard in the mail about this one. I'll be there along with Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing, Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities, and special guest we just booked today, Kevin Van Trump of Farm Direction out of Raymore, Missouri, should be with us tomorrow night. That's at 6:30, free and open to all at Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club on Highway 6. That's just east of Interstate 39 there in LaSalle, just to the north of the Illinois River. That's Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club on Highway 6, east of LaSalle, Illinois. On Thursday, we'll be in DeKalb at the County Farm Bureau building. Actually, that's in Sycamore on Peace Road. But if you've been there, you know this building. It's a great facility. Castle Bank is sponsoring the event. Registration starts at 1. Again, this one's free. Open to everybody. Gary Schnitke from U of I will be there to take you through the farm bill decision. He'll talk for about half an hour. Then Wayne Nelson, Joe Baklavic, and Jackie Vakes will take the stage along with myself. We'll discuss the marketplace, take a little break, and come back. And Dan Bossi of AgriSource Company will discuss the changed U.S. agricultural landscape. He was, of course, our guest on Commodity Week last week, so you can see him in person. Dan dropped out that $6.50 figure for soybeans in the November new crop. You might want to come and see this. That starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a four-hour event, so plan to spend the day with us in Sycamore at the Center for Agriculture. That's the Illinois Farm Bureau building there in DeKalb County. Kind of hope that you can manage to see us at one of those events. And if not this week in LaSalle or DeKalb County, how about coming to Peoria County? We'll be at the Pork Expo on February the 4th. You can find all those details on our website at willag.org. On this 27th day of January, a Tuesday afternoon, let's check out the agricultural energy markets with Dan O'Brien. He's from K-State University, joins us once a month to take this topic up. Hi, Dan. Thanks so much for taking a look at agricultural energies. Can we start with the wholesale or RBOB price, or maybe not the RBOB price, but I think the RBOB price of gasoline as it compares to ethanol, how it's changed over the last year? What that really means for the profitability of a corn ethanol plant?
Well, the relative price of ethanol has been dropping, and I think a year ago we were looking at about $2.02 first part of December 2013. We've moved up as high as $2.12, $2.20 at different times, $2.17 even on December 1st of this year. Now, about a month and a half, almost 2 months later, we're down to $1.45, and that compares to the ratio, I guess, the price of RBOB, the blending, type of gasoline that we put together with ethanol. And the ratio that we had been seeing through most of the last year was that the ethanol would be above RBOB, be less than RBOB of that other grade of fuel. To the tune of about 62-85%, something like that. Once or twice it would get higher. But here now, since the early part of December, as we have the dynamics that have come into the ethanol market as they have, we're seeing ethanol actually priced above this blending grade. But still, I think maybe the bigger issue, Todd, is to see how from early December when we were about $2.17 per gallon for ethanol, how we've dropped off down to $1.45. And our ethanol profitability, as we estimated in the plants, has dropped off quite a bit too. Now whereas through November, December, we were making about 40, 48 cents per gallon for ethanol in terms of profit. And now here in January, suddenly we've dropped about 11 cents per gallon loss. And that's a big, big issue for the sustainability and profitability of ethanol plants here in the U.S.
Does that include all of the products, so ethanol and the DDGs both, or just a loss on the gallon of ethanol?
That includes DDGs, and actually, I think ethanol plants are thankful that the DDG market has actually held steady and improved. If not for that, these losses would be much steeper, 30, 40 cents a gallon. Yeah, ethanol actually in the last month, DDGs have gone up about $20, $30, at least in the central Iowa numbers that we've been looking at relative to where they had been, again, in mid-December. Well, now, with ethanol dropping off, you've got ethanol prices going south and the DDGs holding steady to a little bit north. And that's helping the situation to some degree.
So while this is a scary situation for ethanol producers, it's not one which they haven't seen in the past, but I don't suppose they'd like to see it for very long of a duration.
That's right. You know, we came through 2012. I say we, the U.S. ethanol industry, did, and then we watchers of that industry, to where there really wasn't one. I guess there was one small profit in almost all of that year. And when that happens, you get to the place where people, again, companies just can't sustain losses like that for longer term. So we start scaling back production, closing plants, et cetera. I think here we have 1 month now where we're showing and getting worse as we come to the end of the month, I think, losses. And, you know, they'll probably endure that for some limited period of time. But if this would go on for 2 to 3 or 4 months, then, we'd probably start to see some, at least temporary, contraction in production, some closing of more inefficient plants, and find ourselves in a situation not too dissimilar to where we have been, say, back in 2008, 2009, parts of 2010, and for sure in 2012.
So do you recall just exactly how that happened? Did they scale back to boilerplate production, meaning producing what the plant was supposed to? Most of them operate sometimes at above their boilerplate
point.
Yeah. And then eventually start to scale back to where they're they turn it not completely off, because that becomes a real problem, but slow
right.
it down quite a bit. How did that take place in the past?
Well, I think when you kind of go back and look at these time frames and see the weekly production amounts, and I think at least in Kansas, in our Western Corn Belt experience, we literally saw plants. Yes, to some degree, they would probably ratchet down production and push the pushing of product through the plant, but eventually, in larger stead, they pretty much just closed certain ones down. Yes, there are some that kept producing right through it, we did mothball plants, but we at least temporarily closed them down for retooling, cleaning, things like that, and just waited for a better set of numbers in the industry so we could run them.
What we call a hot shutdown, right?
I think, yes, that'd be the...
And it happened mostly, if I recall correctly, it happened mostly in the marginal production area, or the newer production areas, whichever the case you want to call them, because you're there in Kansas. So I remember those plants in Kansas going offline. I don't recall that the Northwestern Corn Belt went offline, but their primary production area, I think maybe some in Indiana, the far northwestern corners of Indiana and into Ohio, may have settled back as well.
It may also have made a difference as to whether it was an established plant that had a debt burden pretty well paid down, as opposed to a newer one that had some higher costs, at least in this initial startup phase.
Right. So these are things I suppose we'll watch, but really involve more projection at this point, because we're only 1 month into a process where they're in what you would consider a loss mode.
Right. At least by the numbers that we're looking at now. I think it is noteworthy that we don't see a lot of, if we are heading for something like this, at least by the EIA ethanol production data, we're not seeing that yet. So, again, I think we probably will keep going forward and watch to see if the situation that's now coming into the energy markets are affecting in terms of gasoline prices and all of these different dynamics, whether they sustain or not, or if they're more temporary. If they sustain, then this aspect of the U.S. energy industry tied in with agriculture and other aspects will be affected.
Thank you so much, Dan, for taking the time. That, of course, is Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State University out in Kansas and joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Back in just 2 minutes with the agricultural weather.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Chocolate Cake Day. The domestication of coca bean dates back to at least 1500 B.C., And by 300 BC, Maya elitists were drinking an unsweetened coca drink made from the ground beans. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, Ralph Majewski was born, a Polish-born American bridge builder and designer. His first major commission was the design and construction of a 7-span bridge with railway and highway over the Mississippi River at Rock Island, Illinois. In 1922, Nellie Bly died. In 1889, Bly successfully completed an attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter and completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. And in 1950, Science Magazine announced the new antibiotic tiramycin. Made by Charles Pfizer and Company, it was isolated from Indiana soil and found to be effective against pneumonia, dysentery, and other infections. It was the result of the company's intensive quest to find new organisms to fight disease, acting on theories that bacteria-fighting organisms would be found in soil. Pfizer solicited soil samples worldwide, received 135,000 soil samples, and conducted more than 20 million tests. Researchers literally got soil samples from the bottom of mine shafts, from the bottom of the ocean, from the desert, mountains, and everywhere in between. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. So glad to have Don Day of Day Weather on the phone line with us to take a look at the weather forecast. Let's start on the East Coast. It's really been ugly there. How long? What kind of conditions are they suffering? And I suppose we had a spit and spat of it last night a little bit, but maybe you can tell us what's coming up for us here in the Midwest, too.
Well, I tell you, it's a fluid forecast, meaning that I would pay close attention over the next several days to the forecast because there are likely going to be several adjustments and changes. And the reason we say that is that the very active polar jet, which is helping to cause that storminess on the East Coast, is likely going to be causing more storminess on the East Coast. And when that happens, it's going to be pulling in more shots of colder air. However, the exact path and shots of these colder air and the associated threats of snow are going to be kind of tricky to figure out. We also have a southern jet stream that's getting more active. That's going to be pumping up moisture out of the southern plains and into the Midwest. This is something that we see developing on Super Bowl Sunday into Monday. So the outlook for the Corn Belt Midwest is more often than not colder here over the next week to 10 days. And we do see some snow chances, but the devil's going to be in the details. And so we're just going to paint a broad brush and say, be ready for it to get colder, be ready for some snow chances, but we'll be scant on detail.
All right. You can be scant on details. We'll check in for more details next week on the Midwest. Maybe you can tell us something about what's been happening in South America in greater detail.
Well, Brazil has been the area that has seen the best rain over the last week. And as we look a week ahead, that's how it's going to go. Looks like some pretty decent chance of average amounts of rainfall in the growing areas of Brazil. Argentina, drier. Warmer and drier in Argentina. That's been the trend over the last week. And while there's some rain chances in Argentina, it's going to be spotty. Don't see a lot of precipitation. So Brazil's going to fare the best.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don't forget to come join me tomorrow night in LaSalle at 6:30. This is open to everybody. There's no meal involved in this one, so just come on out at 6:30. You might have seen something in your inbox, mail or email, from Strategic Farm Marketing. They're going to do some crop insurance and a little farm bill presentation, but I'll be there too, along with Bill Mayer, Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson, and Kevin Van Tromp. We just booked him today from Farm Direction out of Raymond. Seymour, Missouri. He's been a guest on Commodity Week. Tomorrow night in LaSalle, kind of hope to see you there at Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club. That's at Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club. It's on Route 6 between Interstate 39 and Route 178, so it's east of Interstate 39, just north of the Illinois River there in LaSalle, Illinois. And then the next day on Thursday, we'll be in Sycamore at the DeKalb County Farm Bureau. That's the Center for Agriculture, the really nice building there on Peace Road. Gary Schnutke will start that off at 1 o'clock with a farm bill decision discussion. And then Wayne Nelson, Joe Vaklevic, and Jackie Bakes will take us through the marketplace. And we'll be joined later in the afternoon by Dan Bossi of AgriSource Company. Hope to see you there.